All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara left off yesterday with the machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether when one accepts a Neder Nizirut through specifying one of the Isurim of Neder Nizirut, does that work? Rabbi Shimon says no. You have to specify all the Isurim if you want to specify the Isurim. If you just say Hareni Nazir, that would work also. Chachamim say that it's sufficient if he just mentions one of the items that would also make him into a Nazir. The Sukkim that they bring is their proof. Rabbi Shimon brings a Pasuk, Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Ayayin, Micharzanim Vadzav. Mikol Asher Yaseh means it's got to be everything. You got to mention everything. You can't just specify one item. On the other hand, the Chachamim bring the Pasuk, Umayayin Vishechar Yazir. Sounds like just from those items, if he's Noder Nazir, just from those items, that would make him into a Nazir. Yesterday we mentioned that Rabbi Shimon, in that circumstance, it's unclear whether he thinks the person took a regular neder and restricted themselves through that quote-unquote nizirut, just not to drink wine or just not to cut his hair, or did he say absolutely nothing and it's a neder levatala? So that's a question within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. We'll see maybe some evidence to that in today's daf. So then, Rabbi Shimon, who has the pasuk, we call it sheyaseh migefen, what does he do with the pasuk umiyain v'shechar of the Chachamim? And vice versa, the Chachamim, who learn it out of miyain v'shechar yazir, what do they do with the pasuk of mikol asher yaseh begefen? So that's what we're up to in the Gemara. The Gemara says on the second to last line, Rabbi Shimon, nami aktiv miyain v'shechar yazir, doesn't he have that pasuk? Ha'mibayile lesor yein mitzvah ki yein harishut. That comes to make yayin of mitzvah asur, just like the yayin of Rishut. So just like where you have wine that otherwise you would, wine that you would drink, not associated with any mitzvah, and the neder nizirut would override that and say you can't drink wine. So too, even if you're obligated through a mitzvah in order to drink wine, nevertheless, the neder nizirut would prevent you from doing such a thing. Mahi, where do you have an example of drinking of wine that is a mitzvah? Where it says, Kiddushta v'abdalta. Kiddush and Abdallah are examples of items in which an individual is obligated to drink wine. Gemara says, Hare mushba v'omed alav mihar Sinai. Wait a minute. When it comes to Kiddush v'abdallah, that's something that he's already commanded mihar Sinai in. How can he come here and override an obligation min ha-Torah to drink wine and say through his neder nizirut that he's going to prevent himself from drinking that wine? This Gemara is very difficult, and actually turns out to be one of the most famous Mifareshes, meaning that not many people know the Shitot of the Mifaresh in Nazir. This, if anybody knows any Shitot of the Mifaresh in Nazir, this is the Shita here. The Gemara, the way that we explained it, does not make so much sense, but that is the way that the Mifaresh explains it, that here there is an obligation of Kiddush v'Abdallah Mina Torah alayayin. And that's what the Mifreish says on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. Dichtiv, Zachoret Yom HaShabbat Likodosho. This is the Pasuk by Shabbat. The Gemara in Psachim says, Zochreyu alayayin. You should remember it on the wine. Ein liyala biknisato. That's only true when it comes in. Biyetziyato milayin. Where it leaves. Where is that from? Talmud Lomar. And then it brings a Pasuk. That Gemara in Psachim does not exist. The Gemara in Pesachim asks a different question. The Gemara in Zeh says, Zachrei olayayin. So the Gemara says there, Ein li ela balayla, bayom minayin. How do I know that's also true by the day, not at night? And then the Gemara goes, well, Ipcha, it should be the other way around. It says, Zachor yom ha-shabbat l'kasho, so yom is ma'av, it's not night. But the Gemara over there never mentions bi yitziyato. So here the Mefaresh has two huge chidushim. The first chidush that he has is, Kiddush olayayin is deoraita. The second Hiddush that he has is, Havdalah alayayin is deoraita. Based on this quote from a limud in Psachim that we don't have in our Girsot, that we don't have in our Gemara. In the Gemara in Psachim, Tosafot himself on that sugya says that the Gemara says, Zochrei alayayin. From Zachor Yom HaShabbat HaKadosho, you learn out, Zochrei alayayin. Tosafot over there says that's Asmachta Ba'alma. That is just a smach min haTorah. This is a din derabonon to make Kiddush aliyayin. And Kiddush aliyayin is not a din deoraita. Tosafot continues to discuss it and quotes our Gemara over here. It says our Gemara over here makes it sound like Kiddush al yayin is deoraita. Tosafot then brings what is known as the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, which most of the Rishonim subscribe to in order to deal with this Gemara. But then he says another alternative. He goes and says, possibly Kiddush al yayin is midoraita, but to drink the wine is not midoraita. But either way, Tosafot never gets to the point where the drinking of the yayin of Kiddush is deoraita. So at first he suggests, which is the mainstream opinion according to most, which is Kiddush Hayom is min haTorah. Kiddush HaYayin is an institution derabbanan, so that the person can make Kiddush for his family. And that Kiddush b'makom suda, all these items are institutions derabbanan, in order that there'll be Kiddush that's associated with the household, associated with the family, not something that a person is mekadesh in his tefillah or is mekadesh in shul. That's the mainstream opinion. Tosafot goes as far as to say that maybe Kiddush HaYayin from this limud is deoraita, but then certainly says that mevarech tzarech shiitom, the one who makes the bracha has to drink from it, that's not deoraita, that would only be derabanan. Either way, you run yourself into a problem here, which is that there's no obligation to drink wine when it comes to Kiddush and Avdolah. If that's the case, what do I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that you're permitted to take a neder nizirut that would block your ability to make Kiddush al yayin? Seems obvious that you should be able to do that. There is no obligation min haTorah to do that. On the other hand, our Gemara says, Harei mushba bomid alav mehar Sinai, that he is obligated min haTorah to drink wine when it comes to Kiddush v'Avdalah. Therefore, the Mefaresh here takes it literally, and the Mefaresh goes one step beyond Tosafot and says that Kiddush al yayin and the drinking of that yayin is a din d'oraita, not only by Kiddush, but also by Havdalah. His Kiddush by Havdalah is probably greater than his Kiddush is by Kiddush. Kiddush, at least everyone agrees that Kiddush is midoraita. It's just a question of Kiddush al yayin. By Havdalah, it's not even clear that Havdalah itself is, number one, a din d'oraita, and number two, is a din that is shayach to the dinei Shabbat at all. Might be, even if you think it's d'oraita, it might be a limud from the Gemara in Chulin, which says, l'havdil ben ha-kodesh ben ha-chol, that we learn out from that there's a requirement of Havdalah. That's where Moshe Feinstein talks about that and explains many of the shitot by Havdalah, that Havdalah might be a din d'oraita, but it might not be a din in Shabbat. Either way, nobody would suggest that Havdalah la-yayin is d'oraita. And here the Mefaresh is saying not only is Havdalah d'oraita and connected to Shabbat itself, because he learns that out of the pasuk, b'zachor et yom ha-shabbat ha-kodesh, but also Havdalah la-yayin is mid'oraita. Again, the famous Shita of the Mefaresh, anytime someone speaks about Kiddush, Havdalah, Yayin, and mentions this issue that possibly it's Doraita, they're going to mention this Shita of the Mefaresh here in Nazir. We've already mentioned a number of the issues with that, which is, first of all, the limud that he brings doesn't exist in the Gemara of Sachim, number one. Number two is the fact that almost everybody across the board thinks that Kiddush al Yayin is an Asmachta Bialma, and certainly Havdalah al-Yayin is an Asmacht Ma'am, it's a din derabanan. The other one was mentioned, that the fact that you can make Kiddush al-Apat. There's no requirement of Kiddush al-Yayin. Kiddush al-Apat is a proper way to make Kiddush, and an acceptable way to make Kiddush, especially for those that follow the Ramah, the Yekis that wash before Kiddush al-Apat, really is because of that issue, that Kiddush b'makom suda, but also this idea that pat is an integral part of the Kiddush, and not separate from the Kiddush, and therefore it's not a hefsek to say Kiddush after one is washed yadayim. So for that reason, most of the Mefarshim here explain the Gemara Libid de Rabbeinu Tam. And the way they explain the Gemara Libid de Rabbeinu Tam is, the Gemara says, Lesur yein mitzvah ki yein shut, mahi, what's the example of that? Kiddushta v'abdalta. And then the Gemara says, Hare mushba v'omid alav mehar Sinai? It's a rhetorical question rather than a statement of fact, which is that, why do you need a pasuk to be matir, Kiddush nizirut, to override Kiddush v'avdolah? Because, is that something that is commanded mehar Sinai? Absolutely not. That's only a din derabonon. And that's why the Gemara then moves on, Ella, and gives you, whenever the Gemara uses the term Ella, Ella means a rejection of the previous statement, and now an introduction of a new proposition. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam's version of the Gemara, when the Gemara here says, Harei mushbav omid alav mehar Sinai, how could you be talking about a din d'oraita of nizirut, overriding a din d'rabbanan of Kiddush Abdullah, Ella, we have to come up with a scenario in which there is an obligation midoraita to drink wine. What is that? Ki adam arova, shvua eshte. Person takes a shvua that they will drink wine. Then v'chazar v'amar, hareini nazir. And then he goes back and says, I am a nazir. Ache nizirut, chayla al shvua. The nizirut can prevent them from accomplishing the shvua. So here, that's what it means, that a neder nizirut can override an obligation midoraita. The obligation midoraita is that you took a shvua. You now must keep your shvua. The shvua says, I will drink wine. But the neder nizirut will prevent you from doing this. How does that work? That's based on the Gemara that we saw in the Darim, the Mishnah we saw in the Darim. Chomer midudarim bishvua. The Darim have a chumrah that does not exist by shvua, which is, Nidarim are able to override a mitzvah. Shvua is not able to override a mitzvah. Because a shvua is associated with the gavra, with the individual. And the gavra can't go and then do something against the, call it the will of the Torah. Person's already commanded Mihar Sinai, Mushvavo made Mihar Sinai. And therefore he can't take a shvua that would somehow go against that which the Torah says. On the other hand, the neder focuses on the cheftza. And since the neder focuses on the chepza, what a person can do is restrict the chepza. And once you've restricted the chepza, then as a derivative of that fact is you can't accomplish the mitzvah. You're not directly attacking the mitzvah, because if you do that even with a neder, we wouldn't allow it to go through. But if a person through a neder makes the sukkah or yeshivat sukkah alav asur, then he's not saying, I'm not going to do the mitzvah sukkah. He simply says that sitting in a sukkah is restricted to me. Okay, now, once he's done that, the derivative fact is, if he can't sit in a sukkah, then he also can't accomplish the mitzvah of sukkah. And that works with regards to a neder. So what the Gemara is saying here, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, is, we have this limud from Rabbi Shimon that says that a neder nizirut could override a din d'oraita. The Gemara gives an example first of Kiddush v'Avdolah. The Gemara says, why Kiddush v'Avdolah is only a din d'rabbanan, it's not a din d'oraita. So why would you need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that nizirut overrides? The answer is no. The case is a case where he took a shvua that obligated him to drink wine, and then he takes a neder nizirut, which prevents him from accomplishing the shvua. And in that case, it works because it's a neder that's coming la'akir et ha-mitzvah. Now, why that works by nizirut is interesting. Either you have to suggest here that nizirut, even though in a sense it's an iser gavra, because nizirut is a change in the status of an individual, which the derivative of it is that he has yisurim that are associated with it. So either you have to suggest over here that nizirut works in a way where it's an isur gavra, but also comes with isurei chetza that are associated with the din of nazir, and that's why it works over here. Or you have to suggest that that's the chiddush over here. Even though nizirut is only an isur gavra, that's what the pasuk is telling you, despite the fact that it's only an isur gavra, it's a, we'll call it a super isur. And that super isur is able to override other obligations that you have in terms of taking a shvua that you have surveyayin. Now going back to the Mifaresh, who explains the Gemara literally as we read it now. So he says first, Kiddush v'Avdolah is the oraita. And then the Gemara asks on that, Arei mushbo omeido la mehar Sinai. He's already obligated min ha-Torah to do that. So, okay. What's the problem then? According to the Mifaresh that says Kiddush v'Avdolah is a din d'oraita, why can't he take a neder that will restrict him from doing something d'oraita? That's one of the chamorot of nidarim, that they're able to be oker a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Number two is, when the Gemara says Ella, what is the Gemara saying according to the Mifaresh? All the Gemara down brings us another example of something where he's mushbavo made mihar Sinai, and says that the neder nizirot works. For all these reasons, that's why many of the Rishonim reject this sheet of the Mifaresh. But the Mifaresh himself here differentiates and says that Mushbalav Mehar Sinai with regards to the Yayin, over there he does not have a right to override that Mushbava Omer Alav Mehar Sinai. The Mefaresh here quotes the Gemara Nedarim and suggests that there's a difference between a person who says Yeshivat Sukkah Alai versus some case where the person takes a Neder that goes directly against the Mitzvah itself, where it would not work. And he somehow suggests that that's the case over here. Doesn't seem as clear as what he is suggesting. Most likely what the Mefaresh of here is differentiating and saying is, there's a difference between something that is Mushbava Obey Mehar Sinai, command of the Torah, versus Mushbava Omeid Olav Mehar Sinai, where you generate the mushvav umed olav. So in the case of Kiddush Vavdola, which is Doraita, that's a Torah obligation that is imposed upon you. You're not generating it, you're obligated. There, you can't take a neder to be oker the davar. And then where a person voluntarily takes a shvuah and says that I will drink wine, over there, the neder has the ability to override such a shvuah. And that's what the Gemara's Ela is. There's a difference between mushba v'omed olav mehar Sinai, which the Torah generates the obligation, versus mushba v'omed olav mehar Sinai, where the person generates the obligation to fulfill his word, like where he takes a shvuah she'eshteh, their neder is able to be oker, versus the case of Kiddush Vavdola, which is Minat Torah, where it would not be the case. Once again, that is just not true. In the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara is clear, and examples there of Yeshivat Sukkah, is that even when the Torah creates an obligation, the individual is still able, through a neder, to override that obligation Minat Torah. Again, that presents another issue within the Shita of the Mefaresh. The Mefaresh himself up here gives an explanation which is very hard to understand, about why there should be a difference between the case of Kiddush Vavdola versus the case of where the person takes the Shua, Shalo Eshteh, that there should be a difference in that case. Again, he makes a case for it. It's very hard to understand the distinction or the nuances of what he's suggesting over here because they don't seem to be true by Kiddush Vavdola. Right, so again, most of the Mefarshim follow the Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, which is that the Gemara here is a bitmia, a rhetorical question, which how could it ever be that you think Kiddush Vavdola is a problem? And Tosafot in Pesachim, in that Tosafot that we quoted before, quotes this sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam when explaining that it's only an Asmachta Ba'alma, and it's not a Din Doraita. He questions from our Gemara over here. It says, don't worry about that. That Gemara over there was talking about Bitmiya. Right now, the Gemara says, Rabbanon Nami, Hami Baila Sor Yein Mitzvah Kiyein Rishut. Rabbi Shimon's not the only one who needs this to teach you this Din. That should also be something that the Rabbanon need. And if they need that, then they don't have the Pasuk of Miyayin B'Sheikhar Yazir, to teach them that if you take on a neder nezirut through one of the items, that it works fully. Mara says, no, because imkein lemakra miyayin, my vishechar. Why does it have yayin and shechar, both items mentioned there? Shramina, tarti. You're going to have two things from there. Miyayin teaches you that yayin reshut and yayin mitzvah have the same din, which is nezirut, could override them. Shechar comes to teach you that if you enumerate one of these Sarim of Nazir, it's as if you took on a full-fledged Nizirut. Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? Yayin and Shechar, that there are two different items mentioned there. Hainu Taima, Dichtim Shechar. Why is it written Shechar over here? La Lufe, Shechar, Shechar, the Migdash. To come to teach you the Gzei Reshova of Shechar, Shechar for the Migdash. Dichtim, it says by the Isur of Kohanim, to perform service in the Mikdash while they are shtuye yayin, while they are drunk. It says, yayin v'shechar altesh, ata uvanecha itach. That it says to Aaron, you and your children may not partake of wine, and then go in and perform avoda. By the way, the pasuk of Avdil ben Akosh Bechol comes after that. It's subsequent to that in Parshat Shmini, where we learn out Havdalah from, but it's also teaching you about avodah michulelet, which is avodah that doesn't work when one is drunk. This is subsequent to the death of Nadav and Avihu, and that brings up the Midrashim, that some suggest that the reason Nadav and Avihu were killed was because they entered in Shtuye Yayin. That's why Hashem warns Aaron about that afterwards. So you have the Shtuye Yayin, which is Yayin v'shechar al teisht, atav v'necha itach. Ma gabe nazir, Yayin hu l'litzar, aval shar mashkim lo. By a nazir, the only restriction is wine or grape products. Intoxicating beverages are not restricted to a nazir. Av gabe mikdash nami. So too by the Beit HaMikdash, when it says yayin v'shechar, yayin hu l'litzar. There, it's yayin that is asur, aval shar mashkim demishtakrin lo. It's only yayin that is asur, but other intoxicating beverages would not be asur. So if the Kohen had whiskey or vodka and then went in to do avoda, he would not be under the restriction of this pasuk. Now that's not to say that this individual is permitted to do avoda in that way. All it says is that you're not included in this pasuk, which involves a mita bidei shemayim. So in order to be chayav mita bidei shemayim, it has to be a wine product, or an intoxicating wine product, whereas if it's any intoxicating product, it would be restricted and asur for him to avoda, it just would not fall under the mita bidei shemayim of the pasuk. Ula afuke mit Rabbi Yehuda, there is an alternate opinion that says, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achal dveila ki'ilit. If a person eats pressed figs that come from this place called ki'ilit, which are intoxicating, v'shata devash v'chalav, or he drank heavy drinks here, like honey or probably warm milk, which we know from the story of Sisra with Yael, that those types of things make a person tired or simulate the effect of intoxication. V'niknas the mikdash, and then he goes in to do avodah the mikdash. Chayav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is covered or subsumed under the pasuk of Yayin v'shechar al teish, that you're not allowed to go into the mikdash intoxicated. So along comes the gzeira shava of shechar to teach you that that is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a gzeira shava that teaches you only yayin and not other intoxicating beverages. So now, ibayit eima. Some suggest over here, Rabbi Shimon, lately, isur chal al isur. That Rabbi Shimon does not have isur chal al isur. Now, in terms of what the ibayit eima is doing, is not clear. The ibayit eima means here's an alternative answer. An alternative answer to what? Right? So, the way that the Mefaresh learns it, this is an alternative answer to explain why Rabbi Shimon believes that if you take a neder nezirut from one item, it's not as if you took a full neder nezirut. Ibayit eima, what's the reasoning? Ein isur chal al isur. The problem is, and this comes to answer the question that you asked before, when you take a neder nezirut that says, hareini nazir min hayayin. I'm a nazir min hayayin. So now you took a neder nezirut, but you specified one item. Rabbi Shimon over there says that's not a neder nezirut, but what is it? So based on what the Mefaresh is saying now, it is an isur yayin that you generated. You generated a neder yayin. But then what do you want to do? You want to say then after that fact, the neder nezirut is chal in its entirety, then what you have is an isur chal al isur. You generated an isur yayin. Now you're trying to layer over that an isur nizirut, that neder nizirut or isur nizirut means that you're also going to be asur b'yayin again. And there you can't do because they ain't isur chal al isur. So that's right. Obviously what the Mefaresh is implying here in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that ain't isur chal al isur applies even when it's an isur mosif. Because over here you're adding on other isurim, and despite that fact, it's not isur chal al isur. So there are opinions and machloket about when Rabbi Shimon says ain't isur chal al isur, how far does that go? Is that the gamre? Or is that only when it's not an isur mosif? Or is that only when it's not an isur kolo? The Mefaresh is going to have to explain over here that Rabbi Shimon believes that even with an isur mosif, ain't isur chal al isur. That's the way that the Mefaresh explains the ibayit eima over here. It's coming to answer that question about why Rabbi Shimon believes when you take a neder nezirut from a particular item, you can't create a full nezirut, is because ein isur chal al isur. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot over here explain Rabbi Shimon leila isur chal al isur perish ba'alma. This is coming to explain in general. Ve'ilav kro da'ocha, if it wasn't for the pasuk over here, havamina, I would have thought that hecha de nishpa shalo lishtot, person takes a shua not to drink wine, v'shuv hizir benazir v'shata b'yayin. And then he goes ahead and takes a neder nezirut that he will not drink wine, lo chayav anezirut. Then his nezirut would not take effect. K'mashman kro, the pasuk teaches you, miyayin v'shechar al teisht. Miyayin v'shechar comes to teach you that this is the din. So now, according to the Tosafot, what's the ibayit eima coming to answer? Ibayit eima is coming to answer the question of the Gemara when Rabbi Shimon says the reason for the pasuk v'yayin v'shechar by Nazir comes to teach you that Yain Rishut and Yain Mitzvah are equated. That means that Nizirut will override a Mitzvah. So we said, what's the example of that? So the Gemara first said Kiddush V'Abdallah, we rejected that. The Gemara then concluded it's a case where he took a Shvua to drink wine. And then he takes an Nizirut that will prevent him from drinking wine. The Ibayit Eima, Tosafot says, comes to give you another example. I'll give you another example. If he took a Shvua not to drink wine, and then he takes a neder nezirut, which also will require him not to drink wine. According to Rabbi Shimon, you would think, ein isur chal al isur. And therefore the nezirut would not be effective in that case. Along comes the pasuk of, miyayin v'sheichar yazir, to teach you, yein mitzvah can be overridden by the nezirut, which means that even though in general, ein isur chal al isur, over here Rabbi Shimon will say, isur chal al isur, that the neder nezirut will come and right on top of a shvua, which already took to not drink wine. So not only in the case where you say shvua to drink wine, is the neder nezirut able to come and undermine that, but even when you take a shvua not to drink wine, then you still, neder nezirut can come and create isur chal al isur, even though the shita of Rabbi Shimon everywhere else is, ein isur chal al isur. So that's what the Balei HaTosafot would say the ibayit eima is. The Rosh over here quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam, and says that even a different pshat, which he says, This is the source for Rabbi Shimon's Shita, that Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. How does he know that? Because over here it says, Miyayin V'Sheichar Yazir. That teaches you that the only Yisur you're chayav for over here is the Nizirut. That means, if it came to Yom HaKippurim, and a person drinks wine on Yom Kippur after being a Nazir, what's he going to be chayav for? So you would think that he's chayav not only for violating his Neder Nizirut, he's also chayav for Yom Kippur. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, the Pasuk teaches you, Miyayin V'Sheichar Yazir. Only Yayin and Sheikhar are restricted. So this is a different limud out of that pasuk. Not that Yain mitzvah is ki Yain rishut, but rather that the din that we learn out of here is that Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. Miyayin v'sheikhar. That's the only Yisur that you're chayav for. You won't be chayav for Yom Kippur. Why? Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. And this is the source for Rabbi Shimon Shita throughout Shas, that Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur is from this pasuk. The Rosh raises issues with that. First and foremost, which is that the Gemara brings another source for Rabbi Shimon's Shita, as well as the fact that the Gemara in other places suggests that when a person takes a Shvua and a Neder Nizirut, he'll get two forms of Malkot, which would go against that view. But here you have three different approaches to what the Ibaitema is doing over here. The Mefaresh, who says it's answering the original question, which is, why does Rabbi Shimon believe that you can't create a Neder Nizirut when you specify one of the items? You have the Balei HaTosafot, who says it's answering the question of what's the Yain Mitzvah Ki Yain Rishut, an example of that. And you have the Rabbeinu Tam, who's saying that it's a totally different limud from the puzzle of Yain Mishechar. Not teaching you Yain Mitzvah Ki Yain Rishut, but rather teaching you that Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. So those are the three different approaches to what the Ibaitema is doing over here. So Ibaitema, Rabbi Shimon Leit Le Yisur Chalal Yisur. Titania, how do we know that? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'ochel Nevela B'Yom HaKippurim. Someone who eats a nevela on Yom Kippurim. This is assuming that it became a nevela before Yom Kippurim. The animal died before Yom Kippur. Then he's asur to eat the nevela because it's a nevela, irrespective of Yom Kippur. Now he comes to Yom Kippur. There's an additional Easter to eat on Yom Kippur, period. So in that case, when he eats nevela by Yom Kippurim, patur. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're not chayav by Yom Kippurim because that's Isur, Chalal Isur, and ain't Isur, Chalal Isur. That's despite the fact that this is a Isur Kolel, or maybe even an Isur Mosif, where the Isur of Yom HaKippurim includes other items besides Nevela, and also might increase the severity of the Isur. Isur Nevela might only be a lav, whereas the Isur of Yom HaKippurim is a karet. So there are reasons to believe that it is Isur Chal Isur. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Isur Chal Isur. Rabbonon Nami Aktiv. So now, what about the Rabbonon? Doesn't the pasuk say, Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin? The source for Rabbi Shimon, according to the beginning of the Gemara, was Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin. What do the Chachamim do with that pasuk? Amir Lecha Rabbonon Hotam Limeid Alusrei Nazir Shemes Tarfim Zeim Zeh. That teaches you that Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen, different grape products can come together to have you violate the Isur of Nazir. So, if your violation of Isur Nazir comes about from consuming grape products or drinking wine, can you combine wine and grape juice? Can you combine eating a grape and drinking wine? The answer is yes, because it says Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen. You don't have to have a shiur from the particular item that you are consuming. It could even be a joint, a shiur that comes about from all the different items that you are restricted in by Nazir, because that says Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen. Anything that's a derivative of the Gefen can come together to make you asur. V'Rav Shimon, Leit Tziruf. Rabbi Shimon doesn't need the pasuk to teach you this because Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe in Tziruf. Not that he doesn't believe in Tziruf here by Nazir, but this is his general view, which is the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehu L'Makot, Lo Amru K'Zayit Elein Korban. Rabbi Shimon has a Shita that was brought up in the Gemara in Shavuot and in Makot, which tells us that when it comes to the Shirim of the Torah, like K'Zayit, those are only relevant by Korbanot. When you have to bring a korban, when you do something b'shogeg, you have to bring a chatat. In that case, the threshold for bringing a korban is kezayit. But when it comes to malkot, when it comes to getting lashes for a violation b'mezid, an intentional violation of the isur, in that case, koshu, any amount is restricted. So here by nazir, there's only one isur that can be generated. There's no korban for doing something b'shogeg by nazir. The korbanot of a nazir come about because you finished your nazirut. There's no korban chatat or anything else in the middle. Therefore, for Rabbi Shimon, all the yisurim of nazir are only associated with a koshu. The only time you can be chayav in nazir is malkot, because you violated the neder nazirut. And by violating the neder nizirut, when you need malkot, according to Rabbi Shimon, kol shehu makes you chayav. And therefore Rabbi Shimon doesn't need a tziruf, because you don't need a tziruf to a kol shehu. Kol shehu means any amount. So you don't need a tziruf to get to any threshold or any shiur. Right now, the Mishnah says, Hareini kishimshon keben manoach kebal dlila. The way that we have the girsa here, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, and the way that the Mefarish seemingly says this is, in this instance, he says, I am like Shimshon, I am like Ben Manoach, which would be the son of Manoach, is also Shimshon, or Baal Delila, the husband of Delila, is also Shimshon. Gemara will then say, why does he need all of these Lishonot? Why is he saying the same thing over three times? The implications of which are that in the Mishnah it says, he has to say, Areini Kishimshon, Keben Manoach, Kebaal Delila. That if he uses all of these languages, that will make him into a Nazir Shimshon. But without that, it wouldn't work. Kamisha Akar Dal Tot Azah, the one who uprooted the doors of Azah, the gates to the city of Azah, who was that? Again, that's another term that's describing Shimshon. Kamisha Nakru Plishtim Et Einav, the one that the Plishtim poked at his eyes, again means Shimshon. Harzeh Nazir Shimshon. In all of these cases, he is a Nazir Shimshon. So Gemara says, Lama Li Mitna Kol Halein. Why do you have to say all of these items that are mentioned in the Mishnah? Tzriche, we do need this. Diamar Areini Kishimshon. If a person says simply, I am like Shimshon, Havamina Shimshon Achrina. I would have thought he's talking about any Shimshon. Who knows, who says that he's talking about the famous Shimshon? Could it be a Shimshon that he knows, his friend? Who says that when he says Areini Shimshon, he's referencing that Shimshon in Tanakh, that is a neder nizirut of Shimshon. Kamash Malon, Keben Manoach. Therefore, he specifies that it's Shimshon, that is Ben Manoach. Vitana, Keben Manoach. If he just wrote Ben Manoach, Avamina, Ika Dimitkare Achi. Maybe there's someone who's called that, meaning that Shimshon Ben Manoach, or just Ben Manoach. So those by themselves would not be sufficient. Kamash Malon. Then it says, Kibal Delila, the husband of Delila. And now you see here, there's a Vav. Uchamish Nikru Pilishtim Etenav, or Kamisha Akar Dal Tot Azah, all of those become a Nazir Shimshon. So what the Rabbeinu Tam and the Mefaresh do over here is say that the first part of the Mishnah is literal, which is that you have to read them all together in order to define what you are saying. That means if you say Shimshon by itself or Ben Manoach by itself, it doesn't work Ad Shimar Shloshtan, until you say all three items, which is Hareini Kishimshon, Keben Manoach, Kebaal Delila. Because the Gemara says, then, Mikan ve'elech, the Rabbeinu Tam is gores, uchami, shakaru, daltot azah. What you need is one defining item that tells you that this is Shimshon in Tanakh. So what do? You say, Shimshon ben Manoach by itself is not sufficient, or Shimshon or ben Manoach is not sufficient. You need one other qualifying statement. What could that be? Baal Delila, the husband of Delila. Or, like the one who uprooted the gates of Azah. Or, like the one that the Plishtim poked at his eyes. If you use any one of those three items, that's enough of a qualifier to show us that you're talking about the Shimshon in Tanakh. Not to say that you need all of the items in the Mishnah, but rather, the beginning of the Mishnah is exact and says you need Shimshon, Ben Manoach, and then Baal Delila. But Baal Delila can then be exchanged for any one of the other items mentioned in the residual part of the Mishnah, which is that qualifies and tells us who the Shimshon Ben Manoach is. It's the Shimshon Ben Manoach of Tanakh. And therefore, most of the Rishonim view here that a person who says Areini Kishimshon or Keben Manoach, his nether nizirut does not take effect because it's just not a clear enough articulation. You need the hafli, and this is lacks haflah because it's not clear what he's speaking about. As soon as he brings in one of these other qualifiers, then it becomes a haflah. There are others who suggest that this is only in a case where he says Areini Kishimshon, but he didn't have in mind exactly what he meant by that, and we're trying to interpret it. Then, if he didn't say any other qualifier, we won't interpret it in that way, being a nizirut. But if he did have another qualifier, we would say that it is a neder nizirut. Or, this goes back to the Rosh that I mentioned in Darim, that if a person comes and tells us when he says, Areini Kishimshon, or Keben Manoach, and we ask him what he meant, he says, I meant like my friend Shimshon. I meant like my friend Ben Manoach. Do we believe him? That he's interpreting the neder in that way? Our Mishnah tells us yes. We do believe him, because by saying Shimshon or Ben Manoach, that is not sufficient evidence that he's talking about the Shimshon in Tanakh. But once he adds on a qualifier like Baal Delila, or the one who uprooted the doors in Azah, so on and so forth, he can no longer say that the interpretation of my neder is my friend Shimshon. Because he already qualified it so far as to say that that's not a reasonable explanation anymore of the neder because of the way that he qualified it based on the Mishnah. Right now the next Mishnah says, Man ben Nazir Olam le Nazir Shimshon. What's the difference between a Nazir Olam and a Nazir Shimshon? The Gemara's first question will be, who's mentioned Nazir Olam? We just mentioned Nazir Shimshon in the previous Mishnah. Whoever mentioned Nazir Olam here? So Nazir Olam, when a Nazir Olam comes about, he chibid sa'aro, if his hair gets heavy or grows long, mekel betar. He's allowed to lighten it with a razor. So now, how often he's able to lighten it with a razor is subject to a machloket, which we'll see in tomorrow's daf. And it's actually, even in the Mifarshim, you can look over here and see that the Mifarish himself says that he's allowed to do it every 30 days, which is one of the opinions over there. The Rambam, on the other hand, the Perish Mishnayot, says he's allowed to do it every 12 months, which is another one of the opinions over there. So, it's not clear here in the Mishnah which of those durations we're talking about, and the Mifarshim give different answers depending on which opinion they subscribe to, coming up on Daf Hey. Now, what it means, Mekel Batar, Mekel Batar is a terminology that's also used in Moed Katan with regards to an Avel, where it was Tkifa Avilut, we had a back-to-back Avilut, and therefore his hair has grown very long and unkempt. What is he allowed to do in that case? And over there it says Mekel Batar. Mekel Batar means to lighten it with a razor, which means not to get a full haircut. It means to just take away some of the excess hair that is there. That's what it means, Mekel Batar. So many believe that's what it means over here as well. Mekel Batar doesn't mean he can go get a full-fledged haircut. Doesn't mean that he can cut it off with scissors. It means simply that he can lighten it with a razor, just cut off the excess that's there. One of their proofs to that is, we're going to see that Avshalom was an Nazir Olam. And we know, how does Avshalom get caught in the end? He's riding on his donkey and his hair gets caught in the tree. So you see from that his hair was long, even though we see that he was a Nazir Olam and he was cutting his hair on a regular interval. So you see that even when he cut his hair on a regular interval, his hair was still long. So there it shows you that Mekel Batar just means to cut off the excess, not to get a haircut. There are others that believe Mekel Batar here just simply means that's the way that a Nazir cuts his hair, is with a razor. Mekel Batar means literally that he can cut his hair, he can shave his head like any other Nazir at these intervals. Maybe Shlosh Behemot, and then he brings three animals as a korban. Those are the korbanot of the nazir, which is the olah, shlamim, and the chatat that he brings when he completes his nazirut. Some suggest that we can learn that out of Avshalom. As Tosafot points out, that in the story of Avshalom over there, he tells David HaMelech that he wants to go to Hebron in order to bring his neder that he had committed to, which is his neder nazirut. And it's seemingly over there, he's going to bring korbanot in Hebron. So the fact that he's bringing korbanot and what the Gemara deems that he was cutting his hair because he was a Nazir Olam shows you that there are korbanot associated with it. Even though that's the case, we wouldn't learn that as a full-fledged limud. And the Ikra Halacha here is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that a person brings korbanot when they cut their hair as a Nazir Olam. Vim nitma, if he becomes tamei as a Nazir Olam, mevi korban tuma. He has to bring the korbanot for a Nazir tamei, which are an Asham, and then a Chatat and an Olam, in order to restart his count. Nazir Shimshon, by Nazir Shimshon, none of these are true. He chbid saro enu mekel. If his hair grows long, he's not allowed to cut it. Vim nitma enu mivin korban tuma. And if he becomes tamei, he doesn't bring the korbanot of tuma. And obviously he doesn't bring korbanot of a nazir, tahor, because he never cuts his hair. So he never completes his nazirut in any way, shape, or form. And therefore there's no korbanot of a nazir tahor as well. Right, that's what later on I mentioned that there are other examples of differences, whether there's a hatara, whether one is allowed to be mati or neder with regards to Nazir Shimshon and Nazir Olam, and there's a difference between them, which is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Tosafot over there says that the Mishnah is only speaking about Isurim of the Nazir. Doing Hatara eliminates the Nazirut the Gamre, and therefore it's not Shayach to write in the Mishnah. Mar says, Nazir Olam, man dekar shmei. Nazir Olam, who mentioned that at all? Hasurei mechsera. Our Mishnah is missing some information. V'achitani, Homer hareini Nazir Olam. Harizeh Nazir, Harizeh Nazir Olam. Person takes the neder nazirut, like Shimshon, where he says he's a Nazir Shimshon, he becomes a Nazir Shimshon. So too, if a person says he's a Nazir Olam, he also becomes a Nazir Olam. Then, the mission continues, Man ben Nazir Olam and Nazir Shimshon. What's the difference between a Nazir Olam and a Nazir Shimshon? So the mission is continuing based on that. Nazir Olam, Yechvid Tziaro, Mekil Betaro, Mevi Shlosh Behemot. Vim Nitna, Mevi Korban Tuma. Nazir Shimshon, Yechvid Tziaro, Enu Mekil Betar. Veinu may be korban tuma. So from there, The Mishnah continues and gives us the differences between the Nazir Shimshon and Nazir Olam, which we just explained in the Mishnah. Mar says, Korban Hu Dolomaiti? From that you suggest that the Nazir Shimshon, when he becomes Tamei, he doesn't bring a Korban of all Nizirut Chaylalei, but he does have a restriction in his Nizirut to become Tamei Lemeitim. So you're suggesting here that a Nazir Shimshon is a full-fledged Nazir, including a restriction on becoming Tamei. Mani Matznitin, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Shimon. It cannot be attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Tanya. We have a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nazir Shimshon, Mutar, Litamei Lemeitim. A Nazir Shimshon has no restriction whatsoever in terms of Tumata Meit. Nazir Shimshon only has to do with the hair and to do with grape products. Shekein Matzino B'Shimshon, Shinitma. Because we find that Shimshon became Tamei Lemeit. The Gemara later on will discuss where that is. We'll leave that aside for right now. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Omer Nazir Shimshon, Lo Amar Klum. Person who says that he wants to be a Nazir Shimshon, he didn't say anything. Shelo Matzino B'Shimshon, Shiatzat Nizirut Mipiv. Because we never find that Shimshon ever articulated a Neder Nizirut. Shimshon was a Nazir Min HaBeten. He was a Nazir from birth. He never ever accepted upon himself a Neder Nizirut. So if a person is trying to be Matpis Nizirut with Shimshon, it's not going to work because it's not a Davar HaNadur. It wasn't something that was generated by the articulation or the statement of an individual. There was no Neder Nizirut ever stated. Now, whether Rabbi Shimon here believes that there's no such institution called Nizirot Shimshon at all, doesn't exist at all, or is Rabbi Shimon saying over here, if a person is trying to accept upon himself or make a statement that uses Nizirot Shimshon as a hat pasa, that it doesn't work because it's not davar nadur, that's not clear over here. But seemingly, Rabbi Shimon believes that Nizirot Shimshon is not an institution that exists whatsoever. Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? E Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Amar afilu l'chatchila. Even l'chatchila, you're allowed to be mitamei meit if you're Nazir Shimshon. Matznitan ptani im nitma. If he becomes tamei, b'diavad. If he becomes tamei, then he doesn't have to bring a korban. But indicating that he shouldn't become tamei. That's not the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. E Rabbi Shimon. Amar lo chay lele nizirut klal. Rabbi Shimon says that there is no concept of nizirut Shimshon. If that's the case, then there's no Nizirut whatsoever over here. How could you be talking about Tamei Meit? That's not even relevant. So the Olam, Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is author Rabbi Yehuda. Va'aydi diktani gabei Nazir Olam. Since by Nazir Olam it says im nitma, he has to bring a korban tuma. And over there it's clearly b'diavad, not the chatchila, because the Nazir Olam is restricted in tuma. So for parallel structure in the Mishnah, tananami Nazir Shimshon im nitma. So the im nitma is not exact with regards to the Nazir Shimshon. It's just paralleling the language that was used by Nazir Olam. But Nazir Olam, it's important to say im nitma because he's not allowed to be tamei lemeit. Therefore, when he says im nitma, it's because if he becomes tamei, he has to bring a korban. By Shimshon, even the chatchila, you could have been tamei lemeitim. And our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Why does it mention im nitma then, which sounds like b'diavad? That's just parallel structure with the first half of the Mishnah. Right now, the Gemara says, Lema Plugta Dahani Tanae Kamiflige. Let us suggest now that the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is parallel with another machloket Tanaim that we've seen. Titnan, Hare Alai Kibichor. The president says, accept upon myself like a bechor, the way that the Mefaresh and Tosafot explain it over here is, Perish, Kikar Ze Kibichor. He says, this loaf of bread is just like a bechor. So what he's doing is he's taking a nether, and as the hat pasa for the nether, he's using bechor. Bechor, which is kadosh, so and restricted, so too I want to make this loaf of bread restricted. Rabbi Yaakov Oser, Rabbi Yaakov says the neder goes into effect. Ve Rabbi Yossi Matir. And Rabbi Yossi says it does not go into effect. Now, the Gemara's assumption now is the machloka between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi has to do with the nature of Bechor. Bechor is kadosh, but Bechor is kadosh min ha-beten. It's kadosh from birth. So now, based on that, what would you say? The machlok between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi is whether you have to be matpis with Navar Nadur, or it can even be matpis in something that is not Nadur. Which means that in this case, Rabbi Yaakov says the neder goes into effect because you were matpis with Bechor. Now, Bechor is not a Davar Nadur. It's not something that you make kadosh. It is automatically kadosh. And despite that fact, Rabbi Yaakov says it's asur because he must believe that you can do hadpasa even with davar ha'asur, even with something that is not nadur but asur by itself in a beten. Rabbi Yossi says mutar because you have to be matpis with davar nadur, and b'chor is not a davar nadur. Therefore, let us say, my love, Rabbi Yehuda savar lo ki Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yaakov, damar lo binin davar anidar, that you don't need something that is davar nadur in order to generate a hadpasa. So Rabbi Yehuda by Nazir Shimshon says, no problem. You want to be Harini ki Nazir Shimshon? That works because, yes, you're matpis with Shimshon, and even though Shimshon, there was never any neder nazirut taken, he was automatically a nazir min abeten, yet Rabbi Yehuda says it works. So too over here, Rabbi Yaakov says that a bechor, which is kadosh min abeten, can be used as the vehicle for generating the neder. So they have a parallel shita over here, which is neither of them require davar nadur, and something that has kadosh min abeten works. Rabbi Shimon savar lo ki Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, damar beinin davar nidar, that you have something that is articulated by bechor, since it's kadosh min abeten. There's no kedusha that is generated al peh or by an individual, therefore it cannot be used because it's not a davar nadur. Similarly, Nazir Shimshon has the same thing. There was never any nizirut that was articulated or accepted, but rather the nizirut Shimshon was min abeten. So Rabbi Shimon believes you cannot be matpis with nizirut Shimshon, and Rabbi Yossi believes you cannot be matpis bibichor, and they are of the same shita. Over here it makes it sound more like the fact that Rabbi Shimon thinks the failure over here is the hatpasa, not that the fact that there's no institution of Nazir Shimshon, just that you can't be mapis the Nazir Shimshon. But if you articulate it properly, maybe you could create a Nazir Shimshon. That's why I mentioned before, it's not clear in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which is true. Rabbi says, well, the Kuli Alma bi'inan davar hanidar. Now the Kuli Alma over here, it's not clear. When the Gemara says Kuli Alma, what does that mean? One possibility is Kuli Alma means all four Tanaim that we mentioned here. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yossi. The other possibility is the Kuli Alma is referencing the Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi. The Machloket by Bechor is governed by this. So according to the Mifreish, it sounds like Ben the Rabbi Yaakov, Ben the Rabbi Yossi, that we're only addressing their Shitot and saying, according to both of them, you need Davar Nadar. But that's not necessarily true by the Machloket, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Balei HaTosafot and the Rosh, it seems that this is including Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as well, which is that everybody agrees beinan davar nidar v'shayni gabi bechor, and by bechor it's different. Dichtiv be la Hashem. When it comes to the taking of a neder, there a person takes a neder la Hashem, and when a person takes a neder la Hashem, it comes to teach you the rabot et bechor, to teach you that sometimes things that are dedicated to Hashem can create a neder. And that comes to include a bechor. Another hand, Rabbi Yossi says that Lashem comes to include a chatat v'asham and not a bechor. Ma ra'ita l'rabot chatat v'asham lotziat the bechor. According to you, Rabbi Yossi, why do you say Lashem, something that's dedicated to Hashem, comes to include a chatat v'asham and not a bechor? Rabbi ani chatat v'asham shkein matpisan b'neder. Because in the end, when it comes to a chatat v'asham, they still have to attain their kedusha through the articulation of the individual. On the other hand, a bechor, no one has to articulate anything in order to make it kadosh. It's kadosh min ha-beten. It's kadosh from birth. For Rabbi Yaakov amar lecha, bechor nami, matpiso b'neder hu. That bechor also involves kedusha, or man-made kedusha. D'tanya, shebeit Rabbeinu amro, in the household of Rabbeinu, they said, minayin l'nolad lo bechor b'toch edro. Well, how do we know that if a person has a bechor born amongst his flock, shemitzvah alav lahaktisho, despite the fact that it's kadosh min abeten, there's still a mitzvah to be mikadesh it itself. Shenemar hazachar taktish, because it says you should be makdish the zachar. What do you mean makdish? It's already kadosh. That teaches you that you should actively mikadesh something that is already kadosh. Rabbi Yossi Amalacha, need the mitzvah lahaktisho. I agree, there's a mitzvah to do this. But ilo maktishle, if he doesn't carry out the mitzvah, milo kadosh, isn't it kadosh? So now, based on this, the way that the Mifreish reads it is that both Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi agree that you need a davar hanadur. Now the question is, what is defined as a davar hanadur? So everybody agrees that a shlamim and ola, which are voluntary korbanot, they are a davar nadur. Chatat v'asham, everybody agrees is a davar nadur, but depends why. According to Rabbi Yaakov, Chatat HaNasham are a Devar Nadur, because they're no different than a Shlamim and an Olah. The only way to make a Chatat for HaNasham or Kadosh is that you take a Neder and you are Mekadesh them, just like you do by an Olah Shlamim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi believed that a Chatat for HaNasham, you would have a Hava Mina, that they're not considered to be a Devar Nadur. The reason being, because a person is unable to just voluntarily bring a Chatat and HaNasham. Chatat and Hashem are a derivative of sin. Someone has to do something wrong, and then they're obligated to bring the Korban, and then they're Makdish the Korban. But that means that you can't just be Makdish a Korban Chatat Vashem. You have to have violated something, and then you have the permission to be Makdish Shosh a Korban. Rabbi Yossi says that would make it into something that's not a Davar Nadur, because it's not completely up to you to be Makdish such items. The word Lashem by the Parsha of Neder comes to include even a Chatat Vasham. So even though really it's generated by Hashem or from the Torah, your obligation, nevertheless in the end you're Magdishit. And since you're Magdishit, that's considered to be a Devar Nadur. But that means that the word Lashem he used already to include Chatat Vasham. Then it comes to Bechor, Rabbi Yossi says, I don't have Lashem available because that already included Chatat Vasham. And Bechor is different. Because by Chatat Vasham, still in the end, you have to be Magdishit. By Bechor, you don't have to be Magdishit at all. And even if you agree there's a mitzvah to be Magdishit, it's not absolutely necessary, and everybody believes it's not a Davar Nadur. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov believes that Chatat Vasham are no different than Olah Vashlamim. They are Nikdash, al yaday the individual, by articulating that they're a Kadosh. Bechor, Lashem, comes to include a Bechor. Why? Because over there, you do have a mitzvah, l'hakdisho. So even though it's not essential, and it's not necessary, but since there is a mitzvah to do it, and you have the ribuy of Lashem, those two together tell you that it's called a Davar HaNadur. Now, according to the Rosh, that's not only true by the Shitot of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yaakov, it's also true by the Shitot of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, that he requires a Davar Nadur is clear. But how do you see that Rabbi Yehuda also requires Davar Nadur? So if you look in the Rosh, he says, V'chein Rabbi Yehuda Nami, Rabbi Lei Lashem Dichtiv Gabi Nazir. He uses the word Lashem, which the Gemara is going to say in 1 second, that is mentioned by Nazir, which is, Ki afli lindor nezen azir lazir lahashem. So he says also over there, Lashem is l'rabot et nazir shimshon. So even though it's not a Davar Nadur like a regular Davar Nadur, Lashem, like over here, which includes Bechor by Neder, also will include nazir shimshon in that case. That's the Rosh says, Dadami l'shar nazirim. Because it's similar. It's not the nazirut that's accepted b'peh, but still we have other manifestations of nazirut that are accepted b'peh, and Lashem comes to include this one. Inami, the Rabbi Yehuda Savar, that Shimshon kibel alav nizirut. That Rabbi Yehuda believes that Shimshon was mikabel the nizirut. So even though the Malach told him he would be kadosh min abeten, nevertheless, he, when he became of age, accepted upon himself the neder nizirut, or Manoach, his father, made him into a nazir. And we're going to see later on in the Masechta that a father has a right to make his child into a nazir. And Manoach did that for Shimshon. So they, the Rosh views this kuli alma, means all the Tanaim here believe that you need devar on the door. And how does Rabbi Yehuda get over that problem? Either from the word Lashem, which is the Rabot et Nazir Shimshon, or by saying that Shimshon or Manoach actively took a neder, and that's why he thinks it's a Davar Nadur. According to the Mefaresh, the Gemara is not addressing Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they're just talking about Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi, so you don't have to explain Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, because he may not believe that you need a Davar Nadur. Then the Gemara continues and says, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yaakov, Gabi Nazir, Nami Aktiv Lashem. Doesn't also say Lashem, we just quoted that Pasuk, so shouldn't you also then include these items? He needs that for this brayta. Amar Shimon HaTzadik, miyamai lo achalti Hashem nazir tamei, chutz me'adam echad. He says that Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, and we saw this in the Gemara in Nidarim back on Daf Tet, that Shimon HaTzadik says, I never ate from an Hashem nazir tamei. He ate from other Hashemot. There's nothing wrong with an Hashem, but Hashem nazir tamei, he did not partake in. And that's because of what we saw in yesterday's Daf, the problem of a person who becomes tamei, and then is Toheh ala Rishonot, starts to regret having taken the Neder Nizirut. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says that that person's a Choteh, or close to being a Choteh, because when the Nizirut extends, the person definitely regrets having taken a Nizirut. And that's what Shimon HaTzadik says over here as well. That when the person becomes Tameh as a Nazir and loses his count and has to restart again, that Hashem that he's bringing in the Mikdash is Karov the Chulin Be'azara. Because the dedication, or the inspiration, that drove the person to make such a neder nizirut waned. because the person is feeling overwhelmed now and it's going on too long, and therefore he regrets ever taking the nizirut, and it's not really an edit nizirut, the shem shamayim. So Shimon HaTzadik would not partake of any asham from a nazir tameh. Chutz mi'adam echad, with the exception of this one famous story, there was this young man who came from the south, he had gorgeous eyes, betov roi, and a beautiful complexion, his locks were curls, so he had beautiful hair. Amartilo, bini, ma ra'ita l'shachet se'ar na'e zeh. What possessed you to want to shave off all your hair as a nazir? Amar li, explains to me, ro'eh ha'iti l'avi. I was a shepherd for my father, Be'iri, in my city. V'alachti l'shov ma'im min amayan. I went to draw water from the spring. V'niskati b'bo'ashali. I saw my reflection in the water. Upachaz yitzri alai. And my yetzara jumped on me, overwhelmed me, overcame me. Ubikesh l'tordani min olam. And he wanted to remove me from the world. There's never an explanation of what exactly he was thinking. Rishonim bring everything from soup to nuts about what he was thinking, whether he thought he was so beautiful and therefore he wanted to go out and perform arayot, mishkav zachar, or whether he thought he was so beautiful, therefore he was going to worship himself or avodah zarah, or that he wanted to leave his profession of being a ro'eh, and that would have been an affront to his parents because he thought he was too good to be a ro'eh, or whether it wanted to drove him to sin because he was overwhelmed with himself. And being overwhelmed with himself, then let the Yetzirah open up the possibility. I can do what I want. I don't have to do anything else. Again, across the board, in terms of explanations of what was going on. Amarti lo reka. So the individual, this ro'eh, says to the Yetzirah, you empty one. Mipnei ata mitga'e b'olam she'enu shelcha. Why are you haughty about a world that's not yours? Shesofcha li'ot rima v'toleya. The Mishnah Avot. That a person should never get so high on themselves, because in the end, we all end up in the same place, which is rot and dirt in the ground. There's nothing to be haughty about. There's nothing for a person to feel so great about, because in the end, we are just mere mortals. And that's what he's saying to the Yetzirah. What, you're trying to make yourself into something bigger? You think that this beauty or this temporal beauty is going to make a difference? In the end, all this temporal beauty is going to be dirt in the ground, and it's not going to mean anything. Sa'avoda shagel chacha l'shamayim. And he says a shwa that I'm going to shave you l'shem shamayim, which is in his erot. Now, there are a number of items that come out of this. Again, I said that later on in the Masechta, we'll discuss hair more. One of the few things that you see from here, first of all, that nizirut is very centered around hair. You see that over here, that the nizirut that he takes is associated with being makadesh's hair l'shamayim. So that's also, if you look in the Parshat Nazir, that seems very clear that the hair both is central to Nizirut, but it's also part of the Hakrava. It's part of what is dedicated or donated to Hashem, number one. Number two is, the whole statement over here is very interesting. He has a problem with his hair and his beauty. So what does he say? I'm going to shave off my hair. But when you take a Neder Nizirut, what happens first? First, you grow your hair out, and then you only shave it 30 days later, or whatever the duration of the Nizirut is. So how exactly did this help him out by allowing him to shave his hair when he's going to end up having to grow out his hair in the interim? So you have to say something along the lines of dedicating the hair to Hashem, or that there's something to be said for long hair as well. It's not just about shaving the hair, but it's also about growing the hair out. Again, it comes unkempt or unruly, so that also would ruin the beauty in some sense. But again, that's more shkafically about hair in the Torah. But just keep these in mind, because when we get to speak about hair more, we'll speak hashkafically about this. These questions obviously make one have to look harder at the theme of hair within the Zirut. Amadti v'nishaktiv al-rosho. Shimon HaTzadik says, I stood up and kissed him on his head. Amarti lo kamotcha yurbu nizirim b'Yisrael. Like you, there should be more nizirim amongst Israel. This is what the Gemara in Nedarim calls a nizirut l'nidava. This is someone who had a nizirut that was the shem shamayim, unfettered, pure motives in doing his nizirut. And there, Shimon HaTzadik believed that this person would never regret taking his nizirut because his motives were so pure. Whereas, in general cases, a person when it takes a neder like this, Tosafot says, his whole neder nizirut was the shem shamayim. But, aval shar no dream, most people who become a nizir, no dream be'et sarah. They do it because they're in a difficult situation, and they dedicate themselves to Hashem. They say, if you save me from this, I'll be a nazir. Oh, They sinned, and they lead to the kapara l'banam. And this is a form of kapara. So it's a form of tshuva or kapara. So most people view nizirot as a payback, either for sinning and trying to attain kapara, or payback for Hashem doing something for them. And that is not always the best motive or the purest of motives. Versus this guy who did it completely l'shem shemayim. Alecha tuv omer, on you the pasuk says ish ki afli lintor neder nazir lazir laha shem. This is someone who's really dedicating nizirut to Hashem. This is a person who did a neder nizirut properly. So that's what they do with the word l'shem. Not to come to include these other items, but l'shem comes to teach you that that's a proper nizirut. What's a proper nizirut? When it's done l'shem shemayim. When it's done with pure motives. That's the nizirut that Hashem wants. He doesn't want any of these nizirut, which are results of other activities, or because a person is trying to attain kapara. That's not the nizirut they're after. Now the Gemara goes back to the original question of the Gemara of Shimshon. Lav nazir haya? Shimshon was not a nazir, meaning that he never took a neder nizirut. Is that really true? Baktiv, the pasuk says, ki nizir alukimi ya nar min aboten. That the child will be a nazir from the button. And as Tosafot and the Mefarash point out of here, the assumption of the Gemara is that Manoach is saying this, that Manoach is saying that he will be a nazir min abotin. The Gemara says, no, Hatam Malach Hudeka Amar. Now that's part of the narrative of the Malach, not that Manoach is going to do this, but rather, this is what Shimshon will be. He will be a nazir min abotin. So it's telling you a fact. It's not a dedication of nizirut. It's not Manoach making his son into a nazir, but rather it's the Malach telling him that that's what will be the fact when it happens. For Rabbi Yehuda mentioned that Shimshon was mitamei the meitim. How do you know that Shimshon was mitamei the meitim? Ileim amidichtiv, if you say, because he achamar yikaiti elef ish, that it says over there, with the jawbone of a donkey, he killed 1,000 men. Well, if he killed him with a donkey bone, then he came into contact with meitim. So that should make him Tamei. The Rosh over here says that this question is not a real question because it's a setup. Because he says over here, nearly Mahai Kralo Mighty Mide. This pasuk is no proof. The Boatashah Bawala Plishtim. He's being attacked by the Plishtim. He was taking a defensive posture. It was Sakanat Nefashot. His life was in danger. Vuchrachla Moro Nefsho. He had to defend himself. It doesn't mean that as a Nazir, you're permitted to become Tamei as a Nazir Shimshon. The reason he became Tamei over here is because his life was in danger. It's not because his Nizirut did not cover it. But the Gemara gives an answer to that anyway. Dilma, Gruye Gari Bahu. Maybe he did Gruye Gari, Velo Naga Bahu, and he didn't touch them. Over here you have two interpretations. The Mefarash says that he cut them in half, or he sliced them. He didn't necessarily kill them. He sliced them, and then they died afterwards. So at the time that he sliced them, he wasn't Tameh, because they were not dead yet. On the other hand, Tosafot says, Gruye Gari, the term in the Gemara is used to mean to shoot arrows. That he used the lechi chamor like a boomerang, in a sense, that he killed them, but he didn't ever touch them or come into contact with them. So that way, you can't prove anything from that pasuk. Elami olcha, because over here, it says, vayach mehem shloshim ish, vayikach et chalitzotam. So that's with the riddle, where he gives the riddle, and then he loses out because they got the answer to the riddle, because they pressed his wife for the answer. Over there, in order to supply them with the suits, he goes out and kills 30 plishtim and strips them of their clothing. So it says over there, "Vayachmeim shloshimish." He killed 30 plishtim, vaykach chalitzotam, and then he takes their clothing. Well, the only way he can strip them of their clothing is if he's touching them after they're dead. Dilma ashlichinun bereisha v'hader kadlinon. Who says that? Maybe he stripped them down and then killed them. Who says they were dead when he stripped them? Problem is, the pasuk says "Vayach vaykach tiv." The pasuk says very clearly he killed them. And then he took their clothing. But Dilma goes to Sim Shavina. Maybe he put them in a position where they were on the edge of death. He didn't kill them, but he put them in a position where they were going to die, mortally wounded, and then he strips them, and then they die afterwards. Now, even though the truth is that the Gemara is going to tell us that a Nazir is not allowed to come into contact with a Goses, that would make it a problem over here. That, so either you have to say that they didn't make them into real Gosesim, but, or, the Rosh over here differentiates between a Goses Bidei Shemayim and Goses Bidei Adam. A Goses Bidei Shemayim, there, someone's on their deathbed, a Nazir may not approach. Goses Bidei Adam, maybe he can, because there the person knows what's happening or has a sense of the process of death that's going on, and therefore they can judge to be away when he's a Tamei Mei. So that's how the Rosh differentiates over here. Others still say that maybe that's only a Takanat Chachamim, and therefore it didn't apply to Shimshon. But in the end, we don't have any proof from the Psukim that Shimshon ever became Tameh Lemeitim. Ella, Gemara, Gemirala. That is, we have a Mesorah, that Nazir Shimshon, that when he was a Nazir, he came Tameh. So now either that means that we have a Mesorah, that a Nazir Shimshon is allowed to come Tameh Meit, or we have a Mesorah, that the explanation of these Psukim is to be taken literally. That when Shimshon killed them, he killed them in hand-to-hand combat, and he became Tameh. And that's the Mesorah. The Mesorah is that don't give these alternate explanations for the Psukim. Take the Psukim literally. And that means that he became Tameh Lemeit. So that shows us that a Nazir Shimshon is allowed to be Tameh Lemeitim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks there is a concept of Nazir Shimshon. According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no concept of Nazir Shimshon because it was a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-world event, which is that he was Kadosh Min HaBet, and you can't simulate that which took place by Nazir Shimshon. Okay, we're going to stop over here, four lines from the bottom, because now the Gemara is going to launch into Nazir Olam and explain what exactly a Nazir Olam is and what are the requirements or where do we know the requirements of a Nazir Olam from.